Hello and welcome to SourceCast episode number 34. I'm your host, Joey Lombardi. This week, the trend of large acquisitions continues. We already talked about Verizon, but now Oracle is following suit. And is IBM looking at another medical company? We'll discuss. Microsoft is in a funk this week. There's a couple of completely random issues, but together, this is a bad week. We'll discuss that. Thematically, that's about it actually. So let's start the show. Acquisitions. I spent the entire episode 33 podcast talking about Verizon's acquisition of Yahoo. Dum, 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 dum. We're not going to talk about that again. But a few days after that announcement, Oracle goes out and buys NetSuite for $9.3 billion. We alluded that might happen last week, but it has been confirmed. So what is NetSuite? And why are they worth almost $10 billion? NetSuite is a financial tools company in the cloud. It's 18 years old, and it claimed a dominant position and cloud enterprise resources in the ERP space. And they include offerings to help businesses track supply and demand, inventory, accounting, CRM stuff, and HR. Oracle has obviously been trying to consolidate these areas with their recent pickups of Opower and Textura. But this is a big deal. This is a $10 billion acquisition or $9.3 billion acquisition. That's almost as much as they paid for PeopleSoft. What NetSuite does give Oracle customers is access to smaller clientele, smaller companies. So this acquisition may help them get into markets that they do not traditionally compete in. Let's hope that Oracle takes some of that smaller company mojo instead of Oracleizing NetSuite.
Ancient spirits of evil, transform this decayed form to Mumra, the ever-living!
Also in confirmed acquisition news, Teradata, who has been known for selling off acquisitions, recently picked up Big Data Partnership. They're a London-based services provider of big data solutions and training. Financial details were not disclosed, but it does make sense given the direction that the company is headed in. But speaking of acquisition rumors, there is talk that IBM may be going after medical company Cerner. As you know, if you've listened to any of these podcasts, IBM has picked up a variety of medical companies over the last few years. They call it their IBM medical stack now. So you have Curum, Truven, Fitel, Exploris, and all of those companies give them access to data, which is fine. But Cerner will give them access to hospitals. IBM could face potential competition in Google. There doesn't seem to be many companies that will be able to pay the premium that would have to be paid in order to buy this company. Could it be $15 billion? Could it be $20 billion? Could it be $25 billion? Yes. And because I was curious, I wanted to know exactly how much cash IBM had on hand at the moment. At the end of the first quarter, they had about $14 billion to play around with. So if Cerner really does go for $20 to $25 billion, they're going to have to go out and figure out how to get that extra money. And by the way, Google's also sort of in the same spot. I think they have about $11 billion in cash to play with. Now, a company who has recently made a rather large acquisition, Microsoft, when they picked up LinkedIn for $26 billion. Funny side note about that before I get into Microsoft. Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff said that he would have paid more than $26 billion for LinkedIn. Dum, 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 dum. And that is crazy. I think Microsoft paid too much money, but at least it makes sense because they really wanted Salesforce. And they're going to try to use LinkedIn to kind of make Salesforce, or at least kind of get it close to what they wanted from Salesforce. If Salesforce bought LinkedIn for more than $26 billion, would it just be to squash potential competition? There's synergies there, but that would have been a lot of money. But anyway, this has nothing to do with Salesforce, or LinkedIn for that matter. Microsoft had a bad week. First and foremost, they're laying off an additional 2,800 employees. This is all related to their abysmal mobile sales. Unfortunately, most of the people who are being laid off are former Nokia employees. Great acquisition there, Microsoft. These layoffs were expected to be completed by mid-2017. In addition to that news, does Microsoft have the same problem as Oracle, where they are overstating their cloud revenues? We mentioned a few weeks ago on the podcast that Oracle was accused by a former employee of cooking their books and misrepresenting how much growth they had in their cloud areas. And I said at the time, most of the other companies are probably doing something similar. And now Microsoft is being accused of that. Not as directly, I might add. There's an investment blog called Madison.com where I read the article where they're asking if Microsoft is massively overstating its cloud revenues. I'm going to quote the article. In its quarterly 10Q filing with the SEC from April, Microsoft breaks out the specific products it includes in its commercial cloud figure in the following way. And I quote, or I guess I'm quoting within a quote, "Our commercial cloud primarily comprises of Office 365 Commercial, Microsoft Azure, and Dynamics CRM Online. As such, Microsoft's commercial cloud pulls sales from two different official reporting divisions, Intelligent Cloud and Productivity, and Business Process, each of which contain several unique products, making it guesswork at best to glean how much of the stated $12 billion in sales belongs to which product group. So is Microsoft creatively stating where profit is coming from? Probably. And so are all the other IT firms that are in the middle of this transition from traditional software models to cloud-based ones. And to round out Microsoft's terrible news week, a couple of weeks ago, Microsoft got busted for this horrible attempt to get interns or young people to come to some mixer that they did. It was leaked to the press. They got hammered for it. But a recent article from Computer World sort of consolidated all of their misaligned attempts at attracting a younger workforce. And I quote, "Since this spring, Microsoft has had to apologize publicly three times for offensive, anti-Semitic, sexist, homophobic, and racist words and acts in the name of getting millennials onboarded. One of the incidents could be deemed unintentional, but a lack of foresight certainly contributed to the resulting marketing calamities. Memo to Microsoft, there are much better ways to lure millennials to your brand. In fact, thinking that any of this might help is deeply insulting to your target audience." The three events that they're referencing is, number one, Microsoft's first attempt at AI on Twitter. Somehow some very clever Twitterers figured out a way to hack it and made Microsoft's AI, which I think was called Tay, say very, very inappropriate things on Twitter. The second event was a party for interns where they used really inappropriate language. And the third incident was actually less publicized, but they had an event for Xbox where apparently they had scantily clad women. Some gaming reporters were extremely offended by this, and it got publicized in the news. So Microsoft apparently not doing a very good job of engaging the youth market for both work and for consumer products. I'm going to close out with a couple of interesting rumors. One is, and this sort of makes sense, with EMC now becoming a part of Dell and being called Dell Technologies, there are memos going out to employees that if they use Apple computers, it's time to put those away and to get themselves a nice fancy Dell laptop. And you can totally see why Dell would probably want their employees to actually use Dell laptops. But it is kind of funny that the deal's not totally done yet and people are being told to start getting rid of their computers. And in a final rumor this week, something that's starting to percolate in the news cycles like right now is that HP Enterprise may be up for sale. There's talk that private equity firms may be interested in purchasing the company, taking it private so it can do its full recovery without the scrutiny of the stock market. Basically exactly what Dell did. The very early rumors are stating that the company would be worth around $40 billion. I don't know if there's any truth to this, but this is something that I am definitely going to keep my eye on. It sort of seems like the next logical step for HP to take. So we'll see what happens. And we'll end this week's podcast with a very quick news that you can use. And this one is, how do you hold a productive meeting in 7 minutes or less? If you work with me, you know that I'm not a huge fan of meetings for the sake of meetings. But Fast Company makes a suggestion. There's a formula that helps keep things brief and to the point. Every update should be done the same way, and each business area should ask the same questions. What are you working on? What were you working on last week? What are you stuck on? And is there anybody that you're hiring? Then you kind of wrap things up with some team sharing of any missing information and allowing the team to vent their frustrations. They also make the suggestion that the best time to actually have a meeting is between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. because that's when energy levels start to ebb. And part of the reason why you would have your daily huddle is to boost those energy levels. They don't seem like terrible suggestions and certainly worth a try. I might try to incorporate that into my schedule over the next few weeks. So I think that's all for this week. Thank you for listening. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on all of your favorite podcast platforms, including Apple and Google's new podcast platform, which means you don't have to listen to it on your computer. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced by yours truly, with research assistance this week by John Silverwood. And music is brought to you by Google's Open Catalog platform. Take care!